to Scotland's premier Fife based podcast, Fife Club, where a few friends get together and chat about anything and everything that takes their interest. What's the first rule of Fife Club?
Let's talk about Fife Club, Fife Club. Please talk about Fife Club, Fife Club.
Is that a salt and pepper? Let's talk about sex, baby.
No. Let's talk about money, money. I don't know who does the original. You know, let's talk about money, money.
I don't know who does that.
Talk about Fife Club, Fife Club.
I was going to go down, let's talk about sex. let's not.
Yeah,
messy and awkward, right?
the last time we went down that route, we did Mark's guide to sexual health.
I don't even remember that.
Don't you?
Wasn't that, or was that you, an STD shared as an STD hat?
Yeah, that was Mark.
Yeah.
Sex education with Mark Penman.
Yeah, one of my favourite lines, that one.
Jesus Christ. So yeah, talk about Fight Club.
Just like your chlamydia.
Oh my God. Christ.
Cleared up.
Are we done?
Yeah. Probably. Thanks. Let's wrap this up.
So anyway, thanks for all the chat you've been giving us this week. It's always a pleasure to hear from you wonderful Fife fans, old and new. And I discovered we have John from Isla catching up through older episodes just now. He forages on the island for the botanics used in the botanist gin, and I've been following his exploits on Instagram. It's kind of cool.
And we're all big fans of the botanist.
Yeah, definitely.
That has got me drunk on a few occasions.
I really hope he's not starting from the beginning, is he? Is he starting? Is he working his way through old episodes from the beginning?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh,
I think he's just come.
Poor guy.
He's just listened to the Daisies episode from
the original
September.
Daisies one.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
God, he must hate his life.
More importantly, he almost certainly hates us.
If listeners can prove that they've listened to every episode, they should get a free t-shirt or something.
So do you know how I knew that he's been listening for obviously through all the episodes?
Because you're psychic.
No, because his statement to me was, "Mon the honey badger."
Nice.
The sign of a true fan. But yeah, we'll link him up on the website, so definitely go check him out as well. And also, if you Fife fans have any awesome things you do while listening to the podcast, we'd love to hear about it. It's always interesting to see where we travel to in a week.
nothing weird, guys.
I quite often listen to the MMA Hour in the bath, and then another, John Gooden, who does commentary for UFC, says, oh, he said on the show, on the MMA Hour, it's like, oh, this is weird because I'm quite often listening to this in the bath. And I was like, oh, this has made this so weird for me. Every time I was thinking of him in the bath as well. Like, oh, John.
Yeah. I think Lizzie had to, sometimes podcaster Lizzie had to stop listening to the podcast in the bath because she thought she was having a bath with all of her friends. She said it was too weird. Yeah,
she's not.
Don't go there.
I didn't think they had baths on that island.
Yeah, sure.
That's
exactly where you were going.
I love
with
the
that.
Bit of misdirection.
It's okay, Fife fans, don't worry.
Which we all know what that the name means. Lizzie writes on the toilet door and start away. Call misdirection for a good time, right? No.
Just not on a Sunday.
Yeah, not on a Sunday. Don't even hang out your washing then.
So, anyway, how can they let us know, Jamie?
Oh, via the socials, which I have written in front of me. please talk to us on facebook.com/FiveClubPod or at Fife Club, Twitter at Fife Club, email ken@fiveclub.co.uk, Instagram Fife Club, or on our website, shiny new website, at www.fiveclub.co.uk.
That is the one. And remember, fiveclub.co.uk is the website where pretty much, hopefully very soon, any kind of thing that's going on with us or anything like that, that is the place to check. That's where we will be putting up all of our stuff, maybe even start a wee blog.
Yeah, Kutch is going to be putting up things like his hairdressing appointments, his visit to the gum clinic.
Is he going to sync with his Google Calendar?
I don't need a visit to the gum clinic. That's you, Mark.
I do chew a lot of gum. It's getting worse.
I'm not saying you'd have to have sex first, wouldn't you?
I'm still waiting for that to happen, though. I'm looking forward to it. Held hands with a girl once, and that was really great, so I really feel like I'm moving in the right direction now. Yeah. Cool.
Anywho,
let's on with the show.
Yeah, let's get this in the bag. So, on the mics with my good self Kutch tonight is our very own Play Park Roundabout. He'll spin you right round, baby, right round, like a record, baby, round, round, right round, and then make you sick. It's Jamie.
I could make a terrible joke about how I'd make you sick. Hello.
All right.
Yeah, I didn't know.
From motion sickness, obviously.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah,
motion sickness.
Emotion
sickness.
Song by Silverchair.
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit. Oh, Silverchair. Fucking hell. Frog Stomp. What an album?
No, it wasn't.
Frog Stomp, separate band.
No, same band. But yeah, a different album. It was from Anthems from the Year 2000.
Oh, my God. Holy shit.
Silverchair massive right here.
Wow. please tell me that was released in 1999 or 98 to like make it seem futuristic because it was from the Year 2000.
It was. Yeah, it very much was. Yeah.
Love that. I love that whole late 90s trope of making something set in the year 2000 or just giving it the number 2000 and it made it seem futuristic.
Like Babylon Zoo felt futuristic.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though it wasn't at all.
Just worry about the millennium bugs, guys, if you're listening.
Don't let the millennium bed bugs bite.
Always hot on the pulse. That's Fife Club. So anyway, next to him, like the classic playground slide, or shoot if you will, you'll go down on him for about 30 seconds and then it's all over and done with. It's Mark.
I thought it was generous. Personally. Thanks. Thanks, Coach. What a body introduction. I like it.
Yeah. And across from him is our very own spider's web. She'll let you climb all over her before she ties you up in rope. It's Mags.
I've got off easy compared to Mark's, I have to say. Also, I'm gonna save this content for later off, but clearly the spider's web is the best fucking thing in the play park. Yep. So I'm the best thing of
when
the podcast.
When it was there. No. Tallest building in Dunfermline. In Fife, in fact, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. So here we are. So I believe you've got something to talk to us about this week.
Well, no, I just had shout-outs to... I should possibly have done this earlier when we were actually talking about things,
but give some shout-outs to some
of our listeners. So firstly, I was just going to give a shout-out to our New Zealand-based friend of the podcast and my brother Alex, who has been over visiting. And Alex has gone back to New Zealand with an exclusive Fife Club t-shirt.
Yes.
So I was going to say, any other New Zealand-based Fife Club listeners, if you see an overweight man kicking about Masterton with a Fife Club t-shirt that doesn't really fit him, go and say hi, because that's Alex. So he's now representing Fife Club.
Interestingly enough, there is at least three other people listening in New Zealand. And I know why that is, because Alec was here.
Yeah. So the second person who has been listening in New Zealand was former New Zealand-based friend of the podcast, Amber, my sister-in-law, who has just moved back from New Zealand to Scotland, at the weekend. So unfortunately, we're gonna lose one. You know that way that when people say, oh yeah, you do a podcast, it's great. And then they don't say anything about the podcast, so they've clearly never listened to it before. Uh-huh. So Amber said she'd been listening to the podcast, and I was just like politely nodding, like, oh yeah. Yeah. That's good. And then we were out the other night. We were out last night geocaching. That's a whole other episode. Can we talk about my newfound obsession with geocaching later? But anyway, we were out geocaching and we were climbing over a fence to walk through some brambles to go look for a small plastic box with a bit of paper in it.
Okay.
And there was a flask on the ground. And Amber said, look, Mags, it's a Dewar flask. Which, for those of you that remember, is a throwback to about 2 months ago when I in vain tried to get the public to stop using the term thermos flask and start using the more Fife patriotic term Dewar flask when talking about containers that keep your beverages warm. And Amber, not only did Amber use the term Dewar flask, but she tried to get all her friends in New Zealand to use the term Dewar flask as well. So shout out to Amber for actually listening to the podcast and being the only person who took up my renaming a flask campaign. Yeah.
Dewar flask was also a sex act performed by the former First Minister of Scotland. just to bring it back to what we're talking about before.
I was just going to go back to Maxie's fat shaming of her brother, to be perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, well, fuck,
which,
Max.
Like, nice shout out. I'm going to fat shame you, but that's fine. Yeah.
No, sorry.
Alex, if you're listening, I think you look lovely. So.
He did. He hadn't seen my gran for a few years, and he went down to see her, and the first thing she said to him was, she would like actually physically prodded his belly and said, where did that come from? Like, love you too, gran. That's what grands are for.
Yeah. Mm. But then it is interesting because, like, I had reason to meet your cousins recently, Max, mm-hmm. and...
that sounds ominous. No,
Lizzie introduced...
They owe me some money. I had reason to meet them.
Lizzie introduced me and went, oh, this is Kutch. And they went, oh, Fife Club. And it was just like, oh, great. My fame precedes me.
We're no one
Star-Lord. Yeah.
But it is interesting. And again, like I say, with the Daisies met up with John on Isla when they were over there through the week. And he was instantly said, oh, I've just been listening to Fife Club. And it was just like, oh, we found a Fife Club fan already. And it was just like, it's mad. It's insane how we're slowly sort of like getting out there and people all over the place. Are connecting back to us as well.
7 million listeners now. Ladies and gentlemen, 7 million.
Minus 7 million or two.
Sounds like you've read The Secret.
I am the Illuminati,
Jay. So yeah, talk to us. Tell us if you're listening, and we will give you... If you bump into us in a work-based setting.
So yeah, talk to us. So, guys, you've been watching something this week.
Well, speaking of Scots Abroad,
yeah.
I think this is probably a fairly decent time to introduce what you've been watching. And what I've been watching and Jamie's been watching.
So, and I haven't been watching, so tell me about it.
Yeah. Well, just in general, Frankie Boyle is back on our telly. And I am a big Frankie Boyle fan, but he's been absent for a little while. But I was watching recently, I got into his Frankie Boyle's New World Order.
Yeah.
So we're on to like our third episode now. And then unbeknown to me, I didn't even realise this was coming, but Sunday night he had first of a two-part special, Frankie Boyle Goes to Russia and does a preview of the World Cup. And I thought they were very good.
Yeah. Frankie. That's all I've got to say. The name made me laugh more than it should have done, Frankie Goes to Russia. So
yeah, that's so excellent.
But it was really good because
Hang on. Is that a reference to, like...
Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
Right, okay, I didn't
hear that. Yeah. Okay. It was just, like, one-liners, typical Frankie Boyle, mm-hmm. but also quite insightful in meeting all sorts of different people and not taking, a so obvious line with it. It was excellent mm-hmm. all around.
I think just somebody going to Russia and taking a pretty open mind.
Yeah.
And, like, mm-hmm. actually listening to people tell them. Because the amount of times that you have a conversation about Russia and the UK, it always goes down this particular track.
Yeah.
Whereas he was quite happy to go and listen to ordinary people say things. And ordinary people do say, like, particularly Russian people say some stuff that you generally do not think they're going to say. Sometimes they say some stuff that's batshit crazy, sometimes a bit racist or sometimes a bit sexist, which absolutely came across in the programme as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love the woman who cut his hair.
Yeah.
I apologise for it. Well, it's not really. It's a documentary. There are no spoilers. Just go and watch it. Mm-hmm. But he goes at one point to a barber's to get... It's like, he talks about how Moscow's not what he expects because it's quite hipsterish and there's all these like hipster bars and, mm-hmm. and he goes and everyone's getting into having beards and stuff like that. So he goes to like... what looks like a real hipster barber's, and he starts talking to the woman. And it's just like some of the shit she's coming out with. So first of all, like, the only people... So she says this.
Yes.
I'm not going to do... Well, shall I do my Russian accent? So, no, I'm not going to do it. I instantly regretted that.
There is a new James Bond film coming out next.
Max just brought her shoulders up and put her hand out for a Russian accent.
Naturally shouldery people.
Anyway, she said that the only people that were allowed to cut hair were women and gays. And that some men don't like having gays cut their hair. So the women do really well. So anyway, so first of all, at that point, you're like, oh, hang on a minute. You're not your average liberal London hipster, are you? And then she starts going into this really interesting like dialogue about male and female roles in Russia and about how they're still very traditional, even though like she's a young person who's been brought up and her mother was brought up in communism and women went out to work, but there's still this perception in Russian culture. And she wasn't like arguing against it or anything like that.
No.
She was just like describing it as a factual thing that women are weak and like to be rescued and men are the strong ones and they defend the women and that Russians are very happy with that. And it was just, it's unusual to see someone younger than me in a big metropolitan city who to look at looks very westernized coming out with stuff like that.
That is, yeah, it's odd.
And it's sort of the things that come out in like the perception of politics and things. Uh-huh. Like people are like, well, why are Russians like Putin? Why did, is this strongman image appeal to him? And it's like, well, actually, there's a real long, like, cultural aspect to this about strong leaders, czars or whether it's presidents, whether it's, I've forgotten what Gorbachev's title was. Oh, God, that's going to annoy me. Anyway, right.
A Russian expert, people.
Russian expert who's completely forgotten. But yeah, like, basically, there is this history of, like, strong leadership. And there are clearly defined gender roles in a lot of those places.
Uh-huh.
I was going to say that my favorite bit was when he met the rapper Max.
Oh, he was amazing.
Oh, Max was
the Cossack rapper. Yeah.
So can I just ask, what's the format of the show? Is it him just going round talking to people?
It's just a traditional documentary. So he's there to preview the World Cup. Right. Yeah, so he's there.
But
so
with more jokes.
But it's very, very fun. So basically...
Right. So does he kind of do bits to the camera himself?
He does do bits to the camera. He also does voiceovers. Right. The voiceovers...
Sorry, just because I'm trying to get a sort of...
So the voiceovers are just constant one-liners about Russia, basically. Right. But then you see him out and about, and he just meets people, real-life people. And so the Cossack rapper guy, it's International Women's Day, and when everybody like buys flowers for their mums and celebrates all the lovely women.
When's International Men's Day, though? Where's that, eh?
It's like November or something, isn't it?
November 19th.
So, but yeah, so he goes, but the rapper's like, he takes him to his mum's house for International Women's Day, and they all get like pissed, and it's just very funny. And it's very kind of
the bit where after dinner he goes out to like takes out his traditional Cossack sword and goes out there. Max is absolutely shit faced by it. There are different levels of drug, but there is really a specific like Russian level of drug. And that is out there doing something completely dangerous whilst being totally fucked, basically. So he's just taking this traditional Cossack sword and slicing up pumpkins and cabbages.
That was good.
I thought it was interesting was there's a couple of bits where it's like, yeah, I knew Frankie Boyle had similar politics to me, where he's got that. Well, I think it's a sort of, if you're basically Scottish and you're kind of on the left, and you're kind of our age, then your parents were probably kind of like that, and they, or kind maybe, and or
certainly
I think
more than their parents were that kind of.
Yeah, thing. And there's maybe in Scotland more than the rest of UK, more of a sympathetic view towards the USSR and not to what it did, because it did a lot of terrible things, but the idea of it, what it was trying to achieve. And there was a couple of points in that where he said things like, but you know, from you, Russia, with your history of egalitarianism, you know, all this, and it was like pointing towards that sort of same idea.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's interesting. That's kind of how I think about it as well. It's like, oh, there was terrible shit done. Although there was a great joke about in the main stadium in Moscow, and he goes, yeah, and it used to just be for Soviet sporting events, but then U2 did a gig here in like 2010 to 80,000 people, making it the worst human rights abuse in Russian history. Very good.
Yeah. No, it's good. I think my favourite joke in it was, I'm going to ruin this because I can never remember it word for word, but he's talking about Putin and Putin's like electoral strategy, and he describes Putin's campaign trail as one long series of 5-year-old birthday parties. And then there's and then it's like a montage of like Putin on a horse, Putin like going down a zip wire, Putin like meeting some clowns, Putin like in a ball pit. It just like gradually gets more and more like a children's birthday party. And this is all real. Like, this is all like actual footage of Putin out on the election trail. And you're like, oh my God. Yeah, it totally is. It's a bit like Willie Rennie on the campaign trail.
Or Rick Davidson. In her tank and all that shit.
Willie Rennie did actually go to a soft play area and went down a slide into a ball pit. Which is the greatest Scottish political photocall of all time.
Wow. I did love that on the last election. It was like on Scottish politics Twitter, like, it's an election. That means Willie Rennie's doing stupid shit.
When did you see the one where the pigs were shagging in the background?
Oh, that was brilliant.
Oh my God, yeah.
That was on the news, like on the national news.
That was live. Oh, yeah.
Beautiful.
And totally unrelated to this section, because I was on holiday this week and I went to Blair Drummond Safari Park, saw some lions shagging.
Can you feel the love tonight?
And let me say, I've seen some pretty poor performances in my day. Mostly mine. But that was over very, very quickly with Mr. Male Lion. Got to do a bit more work than that, right?
You were maybe like ruining the atmosphere. Like having all these like pasty like white men looking up. Lions didn't feel sexy.
Kutch is like the lioness of this podcast in that he does all the hunting, all the work, and then we show up for a very short amount of time and splurge onto microphones and that's it.
Yeah. God, the amount of Kleenex that I have to use to clean up these microphones every week. Purell and Kleenex.
But just back to Frankie Boyle, I think the thing that really summed the whole thing up for me was he was having a conversation, and I can't remember which conversation it was, but somebody said, you know, when people think about Russia, and he's like, look, far be it from me to have any preconceptions about Russia.
Yeah.
Like, I'm here to learn this stuff and like get a sense of what it really means. There was a good bit linking it into like FIFA and the level of corruption and things like that. Because quite frankly, FIFA are world classic corruption, and like possibly Russia's one place that's almost up there with them, but not quite as good.
I love it. They pointed out that the only way Russia's getting away with this is because of the fact that the next host for the World Cup is Qatar, who are literally killing thousands of men, like Asian men who are under indentured slave labour in order to build the stadiums. Yep. So all of a sudden, Russia doesn't seem too bad.
Yeah.
But last week, Mark, we were talking about Frankie Boyle's New World Order, the one on BBC, and you were saying that you're not liking it.
I think there's a really rushed format to it. Mm. You know the bit when he obviously the whole show is about Frankie Boyle, right? Mm. So he then brings out a series of guests where he does a monologue where they maybe get like about 2 seconds to say something and then it's like skip to the next Frankie Boyle section. There's like, but the people who you get on are never prepped enough. It's very much like this podcast. You wheel people out who seem to have done absolutely no preparation and hope that they say something funny, while the person who's really in charge gets all the laughs with prepared content.
Except our inclusion of females and ethnic minorities is a lot worse than Frankie Boyle's show.
I have to say, he does do, like, you're right, because it's rushed, it almost leans towards being tokenistic at times, but he has not had the whole series, and certainly any of his programs that I remember, like previous ones he's done, he doesn't have middle-aged white men on it at all. It's always women, ethnic minorities. David Baddiel was on it, but he's Jewish, so that
and
counts.
It's quite often young, up-and-coming. Yeah, it is a male comedian as well. It's quite often a young one who you haven't really heard of before.
So What's-His-Face was on this week.
Yeah, Guy with Glasses.
Guy with Glasses.
And Cerebral Palsy.
Does he? I didn't even notice.
Yeah, he's got cerebral palsy. Young guy, yeah.
Oh, I might be an episode behind. Is episode 3 or 4?
3.
Oh, no, I think...
I can't remember his name, but he's very funny.
Great chat.
Yeah, I know.
Brilliant banter. This is why we do this.
Do you know who I really like, though, who I'm going to give a shout-out to?
Who's that?
Mona Chalabi, who she has on it, who is the Guardian's data editor. So she's not a comedian.
Oh, yeah, she's good, yeah.
Honestly, you should follow her on Twitter if you don't do it already. She does really interesting stuff with data. She produces, so she's a journalist and she writes about data and interesting surveys and things like that. But she also produces her own graphics as well. She does lots of hand-drawn like graphics illustrating different data and stuff. And so he gets her to talk about statistics and it's good.
Every time you said data, all I could see was data from Star Trek. She does interesting things
big
with data.
Big data.
Can I bring up that pish?
James Ball, he was the old data person for Guardian. Don't follow him, he's fucking shit. Is that his name?
I don't know who the data person was.
He's infuriating. He's terrible. She's really good. He's awful.
She's really good. Yeah.
Great. Right.
So Kutch has got to go watch lots of Frankie Boyle because we've just told you all about it. So.
Yeah, I'll catch up. There's another
episode of his Russian thing, and then I don't know how many episodes there is to go on New World Order. But I still think, I agree with Mark, it does feel a bit rushed, and it's not always edited particularly well, but it's still very funny.
It could be brilliant. I think that's what I'm saying. Like, if Frankie Boyle's on form, Frankie Boyle is amazing.
Did you only watch the first episode?
Of this series, yeah, but I've seen previous ones.
Has he had his previous series?
Yeah,
of
yeah,
this?
Yeah.
Well,
this
he's is done a New World Order. Or
third really? Series. Same format as he does for his autopsy thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, right.
The election
autopsy,
referendum autopsy. Yeah. Stuff. Okay.
But yeah. No, I think he's maybe had one series before.
I thought it was better by episode 3, and I thought that was just because they were getting swing of it.
They are getting some things. But my favourite, that after that first episode, though, he got, because he total slagged Corbyn and Labour Party in that episode, and he got a total. People going at him on Twitter about saying, oh, you know, if you're going to be progressive...
Imagine Twitter.
Like, I know. But people are like, if you call yourself of the left, you know, you clearly vote for Labour, so you shouldn't slag them. And he was just like, fuck yous all, I vote for the Green Party, I can say whatever I like. And we're all like, yes!
So anyway. That makes him one of 12 people.
And I'm joking,
of course.
Right, so...
But if there was one place you would want to be born again, then, would it be in Russia? If you were to die and then get born again, like Jesus Christ our Savior?
No, it would be the Ukraine, would it not?
Oh, yeah, that was
same place. Same fucking place.
Depends which bit, right? Yeah. I was just
Crimea
trying to make a
river.
Yeah. I was trying to make a tenuous link.
I thought you were talking about the Pope there. We're going to go to our third thing.
Oh, no. No.
Yay. Ukraine.
Yeah.
Moving on.
So, I mean,
because there's been no news this week, and Mike's been on holiday, hasn't been allowed to read news. We're about to talk about a news story from like 2 weeks ago.
Although it's still banned and about.
No, it's still banned and about. It just...
For listeners who haven't been paying attention, it was the death and subsequent coming back to life of Arkady Babchenko. Who died in a very elaborate assassination attempt and then came out a couple of days later in a press conference about, hey, wife, sorry. Total saws.
Made me do it.
We'll put out the bins for a month.
The best part is that the amount of sort of like effort that went into faking it, and then like they held this press conference, which everybody thought they were going to get more details about the assassination of this journalist, and it was like they're all sitting waiting and thinking, all right, okay, let's see what the story is, what are the Ukrainian government going to tell us, and no out. He comes.
Yeah. Hey, guys. Surprise, surprise.
I really...
It's like, I remember...
Oh, wait, that's our second Cilla Black reference in like 2 weeks. Cliff's still
a national icon.
Right? No.
Did you call Cilla Black?
A national icon.
No, Cliff.
Or... Allegedly.
What's Cliff Richard got to do with Cilla?
They're best friends.
Yeah.
Are they?
Yeah.
Oh, are they big Christians together?
Oh, that's probably it, actually.
Yeah. Cilla's dead now, though, isn't she?
No.
She is!
Is she?
Yeah.
Cilla Black's dead. Right. Yeah.
Wait, who am I thinking? No, I'm thinking of the other one. Childline.
Esther Ranson.
The other one, Childline. Esther Ranson.
Mark got it.
Well, that would have been a more interesting story for Arkady Babchenko if he'd been held to Esther Ranson.
Oh, no! No!
That would explain him being there, right? No? No? Oh, no. God.
Oh, that's stupid.
I just love the fact that like the entire news media was like, this is an outrage. Murdering critics once more. Putin's regime is out of control.
Yeah,
this is it. This is the last straw. What, he's alive? What? What? Hold on.
But that was it. It was the complete shock, because I remember like it was like literally like the sort of breaking news, and it was like all the news agencies just shat themselves. There. Yeah. Like, what? You know, it was the instant like, oh, You can obviously imagine all the editors and everything just like sitting there like, I'm sorry, what did you say?
I saw it live because I think it was Sky News or whichever one I was watching. Sky News, BBC News weren't actually covering the news conference live.
And then they were
covering
something
else. It went, we're getting some pictures of, what's his name? Who's died. And they showed us here. I was like, no fucking way. And then they went to prison, no fucking way. That's incredible. That's like something out of a movie.
Yeah.
Actually, John Oliver, I think, said this week something like, it's the plot of a book that your dad would really like. Personally, me, that is so accurate.
George would like some sci-fi in there as well, though.
Sci-fi's... No, well, no. He likes watching sci-fi, but reading spy thrillers.
Nice.
That's his thing.
So So is it just that you say, though, that the journalists are shitting themselves? Because also I've read a lot since it was revealed that he's still alive. A lot of journalists being very critical, being like, that is not funny. you are bringing our thing into disrepute, which is basically just like when you catch your mate, when you like manage to frighten your mate and with something, and they're just like, I'm not having this now.
I knew he was alive all along.
It would have been better if you just died.
It was just that, like you say, is that
still got a long way to beat Shergar and Lord Lucan in the hide and seek competition as well. I was going to go. Yeah. Wow.
That's ridiculous, Coach. We all know Maddie hasn't beaten Tupac.
Although, wait, clearly my favourite fake death of them all was the canoe man that went to Panama.
Oh, yeah.
What was his name again?
Just to get away from his wife.
No, his wife was in on it. It was life insurance scam.
I was thinking someone else went away and turned up in hospital and pretended to have amnesia just to get away from his wife. That's a different story. Sorry,
the canoe man.
John Darwin.
Went out in his canoe and then like capsized it, then swam back to sea and lived in the shed for like a month, and his wife reported him missing, and then they both went to Panama, God knows how, and then they posted pictures of themselves on the internet buying a new house in Panama with the life insurance money that he got.
This is like when your friend's really stupid and wants to skive work, so they're I'm really sick, and then spends a whole day posting Facebook pictures of them out and about. Why are you such a moron? Like, why are you not just better at skiving? But yeah, credit to the Sun for the headline, Canoe's a Naughty Boy, though, which is good.
If you were going to fake your own death, or be involved in a big political plot to fake your own death, how would you do it?
Have you
thought about that before?
I can't say I have thought about it.
This would have been a great feature if I prepped you for it. Yes.
Kidnapped by the Chaco Brothers.
Oh, that would be good.
In some kind of like, or some kind of like an elaborate Buster Keaton style silent comedy.
Piano dropping down
or something. Mm-hmm. Like that, front of a house falling.
The Chaco Brothers works because it's believable. You know they could just snap at any moment.
What secrets do they carry?
Suddenly a white transit van just pulls up beside you, the door opens. Timmy!
Rolled up in the carpet.
To you, Timmy!
I do wonder what their pillow talk is like, though, at night, because I assume they share a bed, right?
Yeah.
I've killed again, Barry.
I think it's two separate beds, but very close together. Still a small gap, but...
Is one of them not a swinger?
One of them's a total womanizer.
I'm pretty sure he was a swinger as well.
Oh, is he?
Barry?
Surprise me.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And you know who else slept in two beds in the same bedroom very close together?
Who's that, Mark?
Father Ted and Father Dougal.
Yay! Whoa! What topical news story involves Father Ted and Father Dougal?
There's going to be a musical. Yes! Father Ted musical.
It's called Pope Ted, the Father Ted musical, and apparently, so for those of you that are not following Graham Linehan on Twitter, Father Ted writer, Graham Linehan announced this week that he's been working with the original Father Ted writer and Neil Hannon from The Divine Comedy,
which is My Lovely Horse,
on a musical, and described it as what should have been the final episode of Father Ted in musical form, and it's called Pope Ted.
But he did. I didn't realize that he did music for Father.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. I had no idea that was him.
Yeah, did you know the theme tune?
I know the theme tune, but I had no idea that it was. I didn't put the tune. I know his name and The Divine Comedy, but I didn't. Put them together at all.
They say he did the musical for the music for Father Ted. It was just the theme tune and then the refrain, the ding, gang, gang,
bang. But also he did My Lovely Horse. He recorded My Lovely Horse.
Oh, he did do My Lovely Horse, quite frankly, is the greatest Eurovision song of all time.
There's a great thing about the song, theme tune.
It wasn't Eurovision.
Song for Europe.
Honestly,
I would give the Irish state £1 million that I don't have if they entered...
My Lovely Horse.
My Lovely Horse.
If they would just ban abortion. Stop killing babies. Right?
No.
The theme tune, though, there's a thing with that where the producer who used to work on Fab Ted, he worked on tons of comedy shows for like Channel 4 and I think BBC before that. What was his name? Anyway, he died. But his thing was apparently Graham Linehan that wanted to make it a really jokey sort of theme tune. Mm-hmm. And this producer's like, no, people are going to love these characters. And it should be something that's kind of really nice but tragic at the same time. Mm. And that's exactly what the theme tune is. And it works really well. Imagine Fab or Ted if it was like a sort of, oh, ho, ho, we're about to have some fun. At the beginning.
Yeah, weird, we'd be, wouldn't absolutely. Yeah. There is something there is something like slightly eerie, ethereal, and
like
surreal.
Like a despair
about coming into this craggy island.
Yeah.
Which it's
is
really
just,
bleak.
Yeah, which is just a mad place altogether.
No, I think it does. It works well to set the tone for what you're about to go into.
What do you think? Yeah. Now, what I haven't been able to find it yet is whether it's going to be a film musical or a stage musical. I really hope it's not a stage musical because I fucking hate stage musicals.
It'll almost certainly be a stage musical.
It costs a fortune to go and see them. Yeah. And you have to queue for tickets and it's always in fucking London. And I don't want to go to London to see a stage musical.
It'll come here.
Yeah, it will come here. Like, Book of Mormon came here and everything like that. So, like, eventually.
You have years to later. Wait years later when everyone's already talked about it and they've played all the songs. I want it to be a film and I want it to build up and we could all go the same weekend and see it. And it cost under £1 million for a ticket.
They won't do a film until, like, the show's been, if it's successful, until it's run for, like, at least 10, 15 years, if not longer. Yeah.
I don't want to do it.
Although Channel 4 might film it or something for after like a year or two, Channel 4 really might pay for rights for a Christmas special.
I think it's in the interest of the public for Channel 4 to make a film version of it.
So, and they are license fee paid.
So my question is who do you get?
Who plays who?
Yeah,
exactly.
Because it's obviously not going to be original cast.
Yeah,
but
Ardal O'Hanlon might come back for it as Dougal.
Can he sing?
You're going to be looking at people. If you're recasting one, you need to recast them all, I think.
But yeah, it'd be weird if it was just...
But obviously get people that can sort of embody them.
The characters. Yeah.
It needs to be kind of unknown people.
Yeah, I think it's the only way.
They're not going to prejudice you about other
But then again, first runs for that, they usually do try to bring in a big name for something like
maybe
that.
Maybe that's when Ardal Hanlon comes in to
maybe
open
it.
Is,
yeah.
And then
exactly.
It goes on to somebody else. Like, even if he doesn't necessarily play Dougal or something like that.
Or if he plays Ted. Do you think he could play Ted?
No, you couldn't have Ardal Hanlon playing Ted.
But he did he not audition for Ted originally?
I'm not sure.
It's quite possible.
I've got a feeling he auditioned for Ted.
The
originally.
Problem is that he's the same in everything he's in.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, but I'm interested in how he's going to, you know, Pope Ted, what circumstances have led to this. I think that he's going to somehow accidentally kill Bishop Brennan, who was actually in line to become Pope. He's going to kick him in the arse off a cliff or something.
Yeah.
And then he'll get in a shock vote. He'll be made Pope or something. Yeah, it'll be great.
Yeah, the
conclave.
The conclave would be absolutely hilarious. You could see Mrs. Doyle running around offering people cups of tea in the conclave. But
there's been assassinations in Rome, so they have to come to Craggy Island for the conclave. Something like that.
Well, I think it'd be more just that the being the Pope has become such a poison chalice that nobody wants to do it, and they're like, fuck. Who the hell are we going to... Like, who's stupid enough to actually agree to be Pope?
Crilly!
It could be good.
Bribed into doing it because of the money that was resting in his account.
It was resting in my account!
I went to a Fab or Ted charity night thing at... what's that Irish pub in Edinburgh called? Can't remember his name. Massive one. And they had... like some people dressed up as Mrs. Doyle go around offering tea in character. It's very good. Tea or drinks. And they also had Favre Stone there, who just got absolutely smashed on the obviously free beer he was getting for coming to work in there and probably getting paid a bit from the charity. Yeah. He's like, yeah, just absolutely smashed, having a great time.
I have to say, Lemmy's clearly ruined that term for me now, because as soon as you went, I was at a charity event.
Now, is Father Stone the one who is really boring?
Yeah. So he's a stand-up. He's really good.
Yeah.
He's a stand-up. He also owns Deli Zeke in Glasgow. If you're ever in the West End of Glasgow, very nice little coffee and bakery. Mm. Deli Zeke. Yeah. Mm. I once...
just around the back of Cotiers.
Yes.
Yeah.
One, yeah, yeah. It's just off kind of between...
Pricey.
It's West End pricey.
It's very nice.
No? Yeah. There you go. Mm. Fun fact. And I've been to see him stand-up. He was very funny in stand-up, yes.
But it's like bringing back all the characters that you absolutely love. There's not a character in Father Ted that I don't love.
No.
Like sometimes Graham Norton can annoy me a bit,
people say I really liked his. That's his point.
That was his point. Yeah, yeah. No, but I mean like his TV show and things. It can be hysterically funny, but at the same time, it could also be a bit more. Actually, on Eurovision, he kills it.
I mean, he's amazing on Eurovision.
Slays Eurovision. Like honestly, there could not.
Yeah.
There's nobody else could have replaced Logan, but
it shows so much tamer ever since like years ago.
He went to the Beep.
Yeah. Yeah, had to be. Totally.
Yeah. It's BBC One now. Yeah.
Aye, prime time. Prime time, baby.
Not Channel 4 where you're ringing up people and they're clearly wanking in the background. Was that Grace Jones? Who was it he had on? He had someone on. Oh, no. Did he have Liz Taylor on? He had someone like of that level of icon.
Uh-huh.
And he phoned up a guy who's like, we're biggest fan. And this guy, you could clearly hear him wanking in the background. it was hilarious. But you can't do that on BBC One, can you?
Maybe Graham Norton will be in the musical.
Well, maybe.
Well, don't know if he can sing or not.
Yeah.
Depends how much singing is going to be in it.
You don't necessarily have to sing.
Yeah, you can
For a comedy musical.
You can get away with comic songs being played in the background or something.
Yeah, sort of shouty, talky singing.
Because I'm just sort of thinking, I've seen the Monty Python one. What's it called again?
Spam-a-lot.
Yeah, and that's very... Sort of like that, yeah. There's not necessarily ability to sing.
And you have a big chorus to do the big numbers where you actually need people to sing. So.
I think the only musical I've ever enjoyed is Book of Mormon. I think that's probably the only one I've ever... And I genuinely was like snorting, like I was drinking and I was snorting liquid out my nose at points. It was so funny.
Somebody on Desert Island Discs the other week picked a song from the Book of Mormon.
Yeah.
And it was the woman who, because I've never seen the Book of Mormon, but it did sound very funny. And it was,
Matt Stone and Trey Parker from South Park.
The song that they picked though was like the Mormons had gone to Africa to teach missionaries about Mormon and Mormonism, and they'd taught this woman about Salt Lake City, and she thought that this was this magical place, and she I can't do simple accents again. But it's just basically this really, like, quite racist African accent, this woman singing about Salt Lake City and how there's, like, unicorns bathing in the ocean and and all your dreams come true and stuff like that. But she says Salt Lake City in a really funny way. Which I'm not going to do. But the joke is incomplete without
Maggie's shoulders are up again.
And her hands
are
ready.
Very much of the Sean Connery school, as we all know. All accents come from exactly the same place. Yeah.
Anyway.
I think we're probably heading off to our island, aren't we?
Then we probably are.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, you join us back here on BBC Radio 4. That time once again when we go to the island. Yes, the desert island of Dex.
I enjoyed Mike's sound effects there. It was like the records that Dougal has. The BBC records of the Father Ted.
Track 4. A desert island.
Why is it windy on our desert island?
Because there's no trees to stop the wind, Kutch. It's obvious.
I thought we did have trees. I thought we had a little jungle.
Okay, maybe we do.
It was initially meant to be waves, actually. But I appreciate that my waves were like...
Holy shit. You two are getting involved in this. Deep.
Foley artist.
Do you want to get on with the podcast, Jamie?
Yeah, I do.
So, how did we get here this week?
We we were flung here by a faulty roundabout that Jamie had spun us round so hard we fell off and flew over the ocean and landed on the island.
And all of us were spontaneously sick as soon as we hit the deck.
So it's fucking stinking here right now because we're all covered in sick.
Why have you said sick?
and sick and stand together. Yeah, no, yeah, not great.
No,
not great.
That's a sticky situation.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, we're back on the island, and this week, because there was a little bit of an event happened in ye olde Dunfermline town this week.
Yeah, we're back to local news now.
Yeah, a little bit of local news. We had the great Queen Nick, Nicola Sturgeon, First Minister, come to town.
My uncle, who's English, calls her Little Jimmy Cranky.
What's the other one?
I love that take.
The wee ginger tug.
Not only does he call her Little Jimmy Cranky, but we were in the pub a couple of weeks ago and he was a little bit tipsy and he just repeatedly kept showing me pictures of wee Jimmy Cranky on his phone and said, look, it looks like Nicola Sturgeon, does it look? It's just like her, look! And it was really frustrating.
I love that, like, English people have only, like, 4 points of reference for Scotland.
Yeah.
And the Crankies are one of them.
Great.
They never got involved in our Twitter spat, did they?
The
Crankies didn't get joined then.
Is the same kettle a reference point down in England? I just don't think they know what it is.
No, they have no idea. My English cousin, who lived in Yorkshire as well, Northern England, they're like, what the fuck is this? This is mad. Why don't you watch City,
Scottish,
you weirdo?
So anyway, Nicola Sturgeon was in town opening a new play park.
Yes.
Which is the first of its kind in Scotland, isn't it?
Yes, because it's for...
Was she here? I don't know it.
Yeah.
This is the whole point of the buddy stories. She was opening a new play park down the glen.
I knew about the park. I didn't know it was Sturgeon.
It's Nicola Sturgeon.
Oh, okay.
Because it's the first
play
park.
It's an accessible play park, isn't it?
It's been fundraised and built by a charity called Play as One. And it's designed. It's not just accessible for disabled children.
No,
it's designed for disabled children and able-bodied children who play together as one.
Yes.
That's really good, actually.
That is a really good idea. Yeah, I walked past it, and actually, it looks cracking.
I know. Yeah. I was wondering, like, can we organise when we're going to have our first drunken nighttime visit to try out everything on the play park?
Well, it's 11:15 now.
Okay. We should... Oh, no, this is maybe... This might go the wrong way. I was going to suggest we should put a shout out to our podcast listeners and say, like, Saturday night,
let's meet.
Let's meet in the accessible Play as One play park at midnight.
And let's play as one.
Bring the cats. We're going to try out all the equipment.
It's the Glen after all. Yeah, I think that's a cracking idea. We should definitely do that. Yeah.
Hit us up on the socials if you want to come and help us try out the play equipment.
Yeah. Late night play. Wait, hold on.
Could you imagine if we're the people that break it? That would be so shit.
Yeah. I'm too busy watching people punch each other in the face on Saturday night, unfortunately. Oh,
well,
which would inevitably happen if we all brought cans down the glen anyway. So,
have you been on, because the one over the way that they built a few years ago is really good.
The Queen's Park.
Queen's Park, is that what it's called?
Yeah, because the Queen came and opened that one. Yeah.
I have to admit that one time I went on there when I was quite drunk, and I don't know if they still got it, but they used to have a little trampoline bit.
I don't know if that's still there or not.
There's something that happens when girls, women of a certain age, go on trampolines when they're pissed.
You pee yourself.
I have to admit that I semi-peed myself on that trampoline.
Was it that exciting?
I was really excited and I was very pissed.
Yes, you.
Literally, more ways than one. So if we're going to meet up this time, I'll try and not have an accident on the trampoline.
Please do try.
I guarantee it.
If not, tenner.
That's a shame. Piss up in the accessible play park, sponsored by Tenna.
Quite literally, a piss up. Anyway, so what we were thinking is that we would have a wee chat about what play park items we would bring to the island with
us. We're going to build an island accessible play park.
Yeah, well, or a play park anyway.
I was just going to say, like, I'm actually surprised kids play in play parks nowadays, you know, with their mobile phones and their computer,
got to have something to vlog about.
But a lot of them have little QR codes so you can, you know, like, snap it and then read the safe way to go down the chute.
Do they actually?
Yeah. There's a plate.
What?
Now it's been a bit warmer and stuff at night. There's kids out playing football in my backfield and stuff, which yeah, which is what I used to do, even though I fucking hated football. I still went and played football in the backfield.
The skate park in Rosyth always has kids running around it as well.
I think folk do. Yeah. I think they're
I think we are just like curmudgeonly now and just think that that's all kids do when it's actually all we do.
I actually think
cause the trouble.
I actually think there was a cultural shift, though, just very quick on this, where like I could just go out, and as long as I was with my friends, I could roam pretty freely from quite a young age. But now people really don't like to seem to let their kids do that. And actually, like, people think that it's more dangerous, but actually the level of, like, kidnappings and all that horrible stuff is exactly the same.
Yeah.
It's just that media is so much bigger on it.
Well, the amount of parents are just basically terrified of paedophiles right in every corner.
Yeah.
Like, even though the levels are fairly good.
Even though it's
online abuse is different, but actual physical...
Yeah, it's actually, that's the problem, though, is that it's online abuse.
It's true.
They're being kept at home, and that's where they're... You know, it's
That's where kids get groomed. Yeah.
Does
not
your
in
keyboard
the
smell of hammers? Brass eye reference.
Yeah.
Does your keyboard smell of hammers?
That's what paedophiles do to your keyboard to intoxicate children, according to Brass
make
Eye.
Make them suggestible.
Yeah. I think it was either, was it Gary? No, it was what's his name? He used to do MTV Live. Richard Blackwood.
Richard Blackwood.
We got him, and then he went, oh, actually, I smell it a bit there.
And he's so like, funny. I'm feeling a little bit more suggestible.
Yeah. So funny. Anyway, Desert Island.
Yeah. Right. So, yeah, we're that's basically what we're going to do is have a wee chat about what items we would bring. Mm. So, anybody want to go first?
I don't really necessarily want to go first so much as to make a general point about play parks.
Uh-huh.
In the Fife area, I appreciate this is... For non-local listeners, this might be a bit bizarre, but there is a play park in what's known as our public park, which looks like if the wind's blowing a certain direction, the paint is flecked off absolutely every bit of the equipment. The things move in an eerie manner with like a creaking... So it looks straight out of fucking Chernobyl or a horror film.
Like, because it's like airplanes and trains and stuff as well. Like there's climbing frames that look like an airplane and a climbing frame that looks like a train.
And these weird, those weird sort of wobble
sort of industrial.
The
wobble seat. But they're animal shaped. Yeah. But the animals have little eyes and they're flicking off. And honestly, it is dystopian as hell.
Do you know what? Is it got into that state and then they painted it about, 10, 12 years ago, something like that. And it looked really bra for a while. But yeah, it's all flaked away
again.
So
what happens when you build a play park purely out of like reclaimed steel which is probably like used for weapons in the Second World War or something. Like it's clearly been reused over and over again. And now I do know for a fact, to give them credit, Dunfermline Central Council are fundraising at the moment to replace that park. They have been fundraising for about 10 years.
It's exactly the same from when we were kids.
You like it?
It's so creepy.
It's a creepy with no children in it.
They should bring the trampolines back up there. They were fucking amazing.
I know, I love the trampolines.
And now trampoline parks are huge, and the council used to do it for fuck all.
Yeah. And I remember going and getting where the skate park is now, and they had the hut, and you used to go and pay your like £3 or something, and you get all the trampolines.
Even that. It was like 50p or something.
Crazy golf.
And tennis court. They used to have a tennis court there as well.
And in the Glen, they used to have a thing where you'd ride around on your bike, and it had traffic lights. And that's now a car park.
Well, no.
Or it's Carnegie Trust, isn't it?
It's the Carnegie Trust. But
they've opened the
They've opened, so they've opened Fife Cycle Park out at Lochgelly, and it's a 1.8 kilometre closed circuit road track, but it also has a learner track on it, which is basically what used to be at the Glen.
Yeah.
I think it's only children though. But you could they also have, I've noticed, so they do learners, they do children's learners, they do adult learners as well. So you could pretend you don't know how to ride a bike and go along to an adult learner
class.
That's
Jamie's stabilizers. They had no pretending going on.
No idea what's happening.
Learner track, but
it always felt very Mario Kart, like we could take Leo, cut your tortoise.
And just chuck him.
Paint him blue. And just chuck him at first place.
I'm sure that won't kill him. Instantly.
No turtles were harmed in the tortoises.
Tortoises, get it right.
So I've got a question about the parameters of this discussion.
Okay.
Are we assuming that there's already a spider's web there? Because clearly we're all going to say spider's web. If we don't just give us a spider's web, we're all going to say spider's web.
So automatically there is...
The spider's web. Do other people have these? Or is it just us?
I remember there being one in Perth.
I know there'd been a big one at B Craig's Country Park. It was huge.
So it's basically a pyramid kind of shape.
It's made a big out of, pole in the middle.
Yeah, and then bits with ropes. Of rope.
With rope.
And it's a climbing frame down. Made out of ropes. Yeah, and a web. Yeah.
Which is hat, I've heard them called as well. But we knew it as, again, in the public park, there was two play areas in the public park. And the other one basically had... was in there. It was a couple
it was
of swings.
Just a spider's web.
There was a couple of swings and bits, but then there was the spider's web.
They took it all down and they left the spider's web. And for years, all that was left was the spider's web.
Yeah.
And we've had many a drunken climb up the spider's web.
Play it on as a kid, play on it as an adult when you're coming home from a town drunk.
Absolutely. Also, there is that fact that a lot of people don't know about the spider's web. We kind of touched on it at the start, but it was the tallest building in Dunfermline. The highest point. Like, once you got to the top, you could see across the entire kingdom.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
I hate to pour water on your fact, but I do believe my house is higher.
No, definitely not. Once you got to the top, it was the highest point in all of Dunfermline.
Guaranteed.
Guaranteed. Fact.
There was one night we went up there with a special cigarette to watch a
meteor shower.
Meteor shower, yeah.
And it was really cloudy.
But you know what? We climbed to the top, we pushed through the clouds, and it was a really beautiful night.
We had a good time.
Yeah.
Guys, I've just realised that's where the spider's web's gone.
It's gone
to the island. So about 5 years ago, ten. I don't know. I'm in my 30s now, and time is meaningless. But a few years ago, the council just took the spider's web.
It was like last year.
Telling anybody. Because
Kyle obviously walked past on his way to
really
work
upset.
Every morning, and put up on Facebook, and everyone was like, "What the fuck?
No, the spider's web's gone." But no, it's definitely been gone longer than that, because since I've been walking in that public park regularly, I don't remember it being
terribly
there.
Terribly long. But anyway,
now we know this. It had to go because they were setting up our park on the island.
It was the rite of passage of climbing that. I remember being a kid and thinking you were never going to get to the top. And then just the sheer
amount
of bravery.
Because you would get halfway up and shit yourself.
Yeah.
And then be like, Dad!
I once jumped off the top of that and pretended to be dead. I was incredibly drunk and a heavy beer jacket. Very, very, snug and protected from a beer jacket. And I jumped off, I think it was like the second highest rung on that. And then.
It was also bark below it. We'll have to make that.
Yeah, it was bark. Yeah, it wasn't like concrete I was jumping onto. So I could survive. And I just figured still. And I remember Jenny Marie going, Jenny, oh my God. And I was like, ha, I'm not dead. I'm just drunk. Great times.
Very much the Arkady Babchenko of your day. So I would if that's already on the island, then I'm going to put up my one, because I had a lovely day at Blair Drummond Safari Park the other day, which, as we all know, is an excellent day out. Obviously, saw the lion shagging. That was quite hilarious. Giraffes didn't want to come out and see me. Petted donkey, that was really nice. Saw a dwarf mongoose.
I wonder where that was going for a minute.
A dwarf? Is that a breed?
It's a type of mongoose. And you do, there's...
Mongooses are pretty small already, are they not?
Yeah, but this thing is about the size of a mobile phone. It was tiny.
Wow.
It wasn't just a mouse. The guy at Blair Drummond just trying to charge you 20 quid to see. It was a dwarf mongoose.
Yeah, it's not true.
It's from Madagascar. It's a dwarf mongoose.
Just a painted rat, wasn't it? But no, it was really good, and I really enjoy it. And I have to say, like, the play park there is extraordinarily good.
Did you try out all the equipment?
No, I didn't, because there was lots of kids there. Because I went on what was like a holiday for me, but not for other people. I was like, this place is going to be deserted. I was eyeing up the play park a little bit. I was absolutely hoaching. So didn't get a chance. Like, pirate ship themed, quite like that. Right. Lots of cargo nets and things like that. There was one of my other favourites. There was the big slide where you climb inside like a sort of a rug type thing.
All right, okay.
And then you sit sort of half inside this like envelope rug thing. Mm-hmm. Then you slide down to the bottom. Excellent. But nothing, and I say nothing, beats the flying fox.
Oh,
that's what I was going to bring.
God damn it. Fuck. This is why we should talk about this beforehand.
Talk about Fight Club.
Can I just correct you, though? Uh-huh. Nobody calls them flying foxes. Yep, it's a death slide. Yep.
That's what I was about to call it, was a flying fox.
That's what I call them.
Yeah.
Well, we always called it a death slide.
What would be the other thing? Death slide, die, but the...
A zip line.
Yeah. There was always a story at the one at Lochwer Meadows, even though it wasn't that close to the water.
Was on that the other day.
Oh, yes!
But someone went flying off the end, like, hit their head off the rocks and then drowned in the water. And I think that was basically just my mum trying to stop me from going as fast as I possibly could. Yeah. And then, like... My whole aim on a flying fox is to get as high as I can at the end.
And Jay,
like, I think that was her effort to try and stop me from doing that, but it didn't work. Fucking love them.
There's a good one in Rosyth when the park's empty. It's quite fun if the actual bits on it
quite often
just gets ripped off.
But there is no greater feeling. And I would
they
say, like,
so
Go Ape was great as well. Like, yeah. Go Ape is like the adult
version.
I was just going to say, that's an adult play park.
That's an adventure park.
Yeah. But there's no greater feeling as a child than, like, holding on for dear life zip through the air, like wind in your hair, the sheer
your
exhilaration
feet up and
the one at Blair Drummond has the added thing of being across a quite shitty smelling river thing.
it's across
the water, so that's what makes that more exciting.
Oh, that's
not
very
across,
exciting.
Is it just like a rubber seat you sit on, or just clip onto it? And then
been to the one at Blair Drummond for ages, so I did look at it, but obviously
I had to do one when I was like very young. I was in Cubs or something, so it would have been pretty young. And I can't remember where it was, but it was like over woods and stuff. And I was like, the fuck? There was no harness.
All right.
I just hang on.
So there was
what?
Oh, there was a big one at the Deer Center. The Deer Center.
There was also one at the fish farm at Crooked Devon, which went across one of the ponds.
There was
it was a great little fish farm, but there was little pools, and then there was a big pond, basically like a sort of almost like a little lock-in type thing. In the middle there was an island you could boat across to the island. There was a tower, you climbed up the tower, and then you ziplined across the loch. But again, there was nothing, no safety.
If
you fell, you were going in.
Well, that's the thing, like, kids now, the harnesses, fucking bunch of pussies. As far as I'm concerned.
No, I'm with the kids. I was like, what? There's no fucking what?
it's like Go Ape up at Aberfoyle's amazing because you go right across the woods. Like, it's a big valley, and the final zip line goes tearing right across. However, if you are under a certain weight, you'll get stuck halfway because you've not got enough inertia. Which happened to brother outlaw Jack. He got stuck and the guy had to go up and grab him and pull him all the way back down because he didn't have enough weight, because basically, like, you go on it and it pulls down and that's what gives you the inertia, and he went on it and it didn't move. And he just kind of went,
no problems here, 14 stone of prime scotch beef.
It's good.
But they are absolutely tremendous. The longest one in the world, I think, is in Wales now.
Yeah, they put one over the slate mine at Blanwfest in York, and I really want to go to it. Yeah, but you do have to clip in for that.
Holy shit. That's the longest one in the world in Wales.
Yeah.
I assumed it'd be in fucking New Zealand or some shit.
Yeah. It's maybe the longest one in Europe.
Yeah, maybe.
They put in a really massive long one in Wales at Blanwfest in York.
Because I've seen like videos of some mental ones, like, across massive canyons and gorges and stuff
I think it was like New Zealand, and it was like a big, like, like a valley with woods in it. Yeah, it looked amazing.
It does take away the fun of getting your mate to push you hard on it. That's always a good, there's a really good one on the Isle of Lewis. It's in the sand dunes at Yorrapay on the very northwest tip of Lewis. I'm not just milking the joke here. It genuinely is closed on a Sunday. They have a sign outside the play park saying, please respect our culture, play park closed on a Sunday. But me and Lizzie go and play on it sometimes. But you do have to, it's not got very, it's long, but it's not very steep. So you do have to give somebody a really good push. And yeah, that's part of the fun, isn't it? Giving someone a big push.
It is, definitely.
Cool. Yeah. So we're building a nice play park. So we've got a spider's web. We've got a zip line.
Zip line, yeah.
I'm going to go more tame. But sometimes you kind of beat a really fucking good slide. Like a big, I particularly like big slides that are built into a hillside.
Big slides and she can't.
Like a grass slide.
Yeah. No, not like grass, like a metal slide.
Metal slide, yeah. But into the built
into a hill. Oh, so you've got to
like
run
like
up the
a landmark. Yeah. I don't know if any of you ever went to
landmark.
Yes, landmark.
Yeah. Landmark. Yeah. No.
It also has a little adventure climbing thing.
There's one on the links at Tain where my mum lives, but disappointingly, it's made for arses smaller than mine.
I was just gonna say, tried and got stuck.
You can't get a good build up on it. But if you find a really good slide and it's really fast and it's a little bit wet,
30 seconds of fun.
Got a bit of zip on it. To the point where actually, so especially if the end is like a bit high and there's that risk of that you're going to fall off the end of the slide and you get to and hurt your arse. That's actually really
Do you know
fun.
The slides, which were always fun, but also really dangerous because of the amount of concussions and also almost coming off, were the slides that used to have the bump in the middle.
Because
they're dangerous.
See, if you got a proper run on that, you would hit and then you would bump the amount of folk that I'd seen, and I think it's possibly happened to myself. If you hit that the wrong way, you were off the side of the slide and you still had like a 3 or 4 foot drop.
Boom, did that much?
Yeah.
Rex Park slide.
He's playing Rex Park a lot.
But also,
they were
great fun because you would get that like moment of like weightlessness, basically.
I always remember
the side of the Rex Park slide.
Rex Park as well, they always had the like balance beam sort of things, like the two beams, like gymnastic ones.
Yeah.
And all that people did was like swinging between them as hard as they could, like, sort of launch themselves off of them, or as I'd done before, launch myself sort of up and then fall back onto it and really hurt myself. I have a history of that. That's how I sliced my ear in half as well. Doing it between a table, my dining table and a chair, and the table had like a leaf thing, fold-out thing. Went up in the air. This is my house. Went up in the air. I like flipped around, came back down, and then my ear just went through the hinge. It was like, and then my Auntie Fiona, I think it was my Auntie Fiona looking after us at a time, and it was like sliced up with like a set.
I did have
a scar, but it was the guy who did it was like a plastic surgeon in training who redid my ear.
Wow.
Yeah. But he just happened to be a guy in A&E that night. But apparently I ran through and my to the bathroom going, and my ear was flapping. Just to gross you out, listeners.
I used to love the bars. Like my party piece in Tesco, Sawtooth 435 Rosyth Metro, if anyone's still there. Just shout out to my peeps. Was back in the back room because you would have these, you'd have the cages that everything got stacked on. Uh-huh. And they were basically two bars in that same kind of two parallel bars that were quite high up. So I would pull myself up on them and I would do like forward flips and back flips on them.
Also parallel bars, you knew the actual name, thank you.
did that impress the Tesco ladies?
No, I don't know if there were any Tesco ladies. There was just me and Beaker.
Nature will find a way.
You can't beat a good slide. You can't
a really high slide, into really the long slide with good. A couple of bumps in the middle. That's what we're going for.
I've thought of something.
Okay. Uh-huh.
That was really good. Flying Fox, really good. But I'm going to go for a really long tunnel that you have to crawl through.
Like the black hole at the Deer Centre.
Yes. Exactly. That was the inspiration for it. So we'll have different sections of the park, but. A quick way between them will be a tunnel that seems like when you're a kid that is never going to end. When in actual fact, it's probably 20 feet long at the most.
Yeah,
but you're like, oh my god, this is going on forever. I'm stuck in darkness for the rest of my life.
Are you going to have little half tires in there for no apparent reason?
Yeah, what's that about?
Yeah, I don't know why there was half tires in there.
Is that so people don't bump their head? At certain points?
Presumably,
or
I don't know.
Yeah. And do you get a badge when you get to the end? Remember, they used to have badges in the gift shop that was "I survived the black hole."
No.
did, yeah. Oh, I remember having it. I don't know if I had it or not, but I remember definitely there were badges. I survived the black hole at the Cooper Deer Centre, which I, to this day, think it's hilarious that basically they've turned what is a deer farm into a nature park, and they encourage people to go and look at all the deer and have fun, and then on the way out there's a massive butcher's and you can just buy all the meat from the deer.
I also, and like coming back to Blair Drummond again, when I was driving through like the part of the reserves, I noticed that the lion reserve is right next to the kids play park. It's like, are you just taunting these lions? These lions just looking at the kids like, oh my god, lunch.
I remember, yeah, I went there with my sister and her kids, and yeah, the kids were just walking along like next to the lion bit.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that wasn't there. That was it. I think I was at a Fife Wildlife Park, sorry, I'm thinking of. Mm. But it was some sort of big cat, like a leopard or something, and they were walking along, like, they could get pretty close to it and almost put their hands in it. And they're like, ah, the cat's funny. And the big cats were not impressed with the banter at all. And I was like, oh my, this is mega dangerous. Didn't some animals get loose in the zoo in, where was it?
Germany. Yeah.
Germany, yeah.
It was like tigers, lions,
and bears,
panther.
No, they came back and said that half of them hadn't actually got missing and they just couldn't find them. There was this follow up to that story
I hadn't seen that.
It turned out only one thing had got missing, and then they really panicked and assumed that everything had got missing, and they were just hiding.
They just couldn't find them
in their enclosures.
Which is basically like most zoos when you go along and
can't find them.
Yeah.
Just like the T-Rex in Jurassic Park.
Yep.
Right, we've got, what are you completing our play park with then, Kutch? We've got one more slot for some kind of play equipment.
Well, I think I'm going to go a bit more traditionalist as well, but with a slight twist. I'm going for a roundabout, but I'm going for one of the big dish saucer ones.
Oh.
You know the ones that I mean?
No.
Like you can get three or four folk in them, you hold on to the sides, and it kind of spins on an axis as
Spins
round, but then, oh man, those things.
That's a whitey inducer right there.
I also don't think those things are allowed in play parks anymore.
No.
I know the one that was in the play park near me when I was growing up got taken out after about 6 months because the amount, again, of concussions and broken arms.
It's also just a vomitarium.
Yeah.
Really basic.
But they were good fun.
I feel so sick on a roundabout. I can't cope with roundabouts.
There's nothing better than, even on like a traditional roundabout, about like getting onto it, lying down with your head towards the middle, and then getting someone just to spin the fuck out of that as fast as possible. Oh, it's proper like zero G training.
I was going to say, is that how you think people get to work in fairgrounds? Because a kid is always spinning around going, scream if you want to go faster.
I remember. You remember those ones that were at like the big shows and stuff like that, where you would get strapped into the side of the big thing.
Right. I genuinely thought I was going to fall out. My dad took me in one as a kid. I'm pretty sure I was too small to go in it. I felt like I was going to come flying out of it. Like, genuinely. The thing was like a bar up to here, which is all right if you're an adult.
Yeah.
But for me, I was like, oh, no, this isn't safe. I'm going to die. Yeah, I did not like that.
Yeah.
I remember those are the ones that went right the way up onto like vertical and then back down again.
Yeah. I remember being at one, I think it was like Loudon Country Park or something. Uh-huh, the one that got closed down for being unsafe.
Which I went to almost every summer.
I remember me and friend Neil McPhillips were on the pirate ship and it kept creaking.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't like false creaking to make you sound scared. It was like genuine creaking.
Yeah.
We ended up singing Ben Folds 5 songs because we thought we were going to die.
I thought you'd gone to Loudon Country Park when you were like 10 or something, but no, you were singing Ben Folds 5 songs. You were clearly like in your late teens.
11 or 12.
Yeah,
or
that would be about right, Ben Folds.
You were not cool enough to like Ben Folds when you were 11 or 12.
Absolutely.
And whatever and ever I'm in,
Sharp. Sharp, I don't believe.
I went to for my first Ben Folds gig at 16.
Yeah, well, that's more like
that. Yeah, that would be about the
album
same. Yeah,
for years. Yeah.
So Liquid Rooms.
No, Barrowlands was the first one I went to.
Nah, I think we were a bit later in our Ben Folds appreciation.
Definitely.
Yeah,
I was later.
Yeah. I was late to the party, guys.
Yeah, Yeah.
Sorry, when I was 11,
well,
I was too
busy. Well, we were born a couple of years after you, so
shut up. Shut up.
Also, I was too busy practicing S Club 7 dance routines
nice.
When I was 11, and I can still do them to this day, whereas I can't still sing the Phil Benfold song. So,
ain't no party like a Mags S Club.
Oh,
party.
Can I just give a quick shout out to. I know, I'm doing a lot of shout outs tonight, but I don't know if I mentioned, I've mentioned this loads off air tonight. I ran a marathon 2 weeks ago.
She ran a marathon.
I ran 4.5 miles of a marathon, but it still counts. I have a t-shirt that says marathon finisher because I crossed the line. But anyway, it was getting to the point where I was really struggling. There was like about 1.5 miles to go. And I was like, oh, I'm really tired. I really need something to pick me up. And there were three lassies sitting on the grass at the entrance to Musselburgh with a boombox, like an actual boombox, playing S Club 7 Reach for the Stars on full for all the marathon runners. And that was the final pickup that I needed.
Nice.
Reach for the Stars. So thank you for the bottom of my heart to those girls who did that.
Fair enough. And just on the whatever and ever amen, that was 97, so it'd been about 14.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so I was older than I thought.
Yeah.
Right, fair enough.
Mm. Fair dues.
Anyway.
Well, who's coming to open? Oh, no, because we're on the island, so yeah. We've just got to open the park ourselves.
Well, who's
we?
Coming to open it?
Honey Badger, obviously.
Honey Badger, yeah.
the Honey Badger, Joseph Fritzl.
Joseph
Fritzl. Harold Shipman.
Joseph Fritzl's the park attendant.
Yeah. Keeps locking people in the black hole. Don't get a hearty knee, kids, or you have to go and see Dr. Shipman. Make it all better. You've got a boop, but Granny's looking a bit past it.
Oh, God.
Can we
What's Harold Shipman's favourite song? Fade to Black.
Oh.
I just thought that is terrible.
Can we on our new website get a page that lists all the people and objects that are on our island?
Yeah,
now?
That's the plan.
We should do, because
really? Can people remember?
Well, no.
Someone's going to have to listen to all the episodes.
Jamie, you and me are going to do a job.
Oh, no.
You're unemployed.
No.
Listen to all the podcasts.
The only thing worse than doing this podcast is listening to it.
And I'm going to make you listen to portions of it.
Okay.
Yeah. But that's so we can update the website and have references to everything. So that way people can join in at any point and jump back.
And understand why Joseph Fritzl is our park attendant.
Yeah. Because if you're new and listening just now, you'll actually be wondering
we
what
do
the
need
fuck's
a reference
going on.
And five called Meme Gout.
Yeah.
Don't we? Yeah. So you know what's going on.
Definitely. Definitely. So that will be coming to you very soon. But yeah, well, is it time to head on home? Or, well, try and get home?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Might as well.
Okay. Fair enough. Also, actually, just before we do, is it the flying fox or the flying honey badger?
It's a fucking death slide. It's none of them.
All right, Max.
It's flying fox.
Flying fox, yeah. Okay. Well, I suppose if that's us done, that does bring me to that time of evening where I have to ask, Max, what's the motto for this week?
Death slide.
That'll do. Good night.
See ya.
Night. Good night. Everywhere in my dreams, I see you, I feel you. That is how I know you. Go on. Can I just point out the last time that I did a podcast and I did lots of singing, was it not like one of our best weeks ever for downloads? Because people like the Eurovision episode. Because people really love all my singing, so I think I should sing every week. Far across the distance and spaces between us, You have come to show you.
It's not one you
go on. Near.
Oh, you're going soft.
Far.
Wherever
you are, I believe that my heart will go on.
That's a terrible guitar part.
Once more.
I'm out.
I hate how she was. I open doors.
Do you not open all the doors in your house?
Open the door. No, I don't.
I just put a microphone in my hand. I feel like I need
right.
to.
Right. Okay, let's fucking do this. Yeah. Are we ready?
I'm totally